We'll get back to your calls in less than 10 minutes here on 92.9 The Game. So if you're on hold, stay there. You'll be first up. If not, grab a line. Producer Josh is here to take your calls on the Falcons, 404-726-0929. What's most important? Just win the game tomorrow, try to keep the season alive, or is it to see Michael Penix Jr. get back on track? We had a great batch of calls last segment and in the first segment of the show as well, so we'll continue to take your calls after we chat on the WadeFord.com hotline with one of our good buddies, Miles Garrett, Fox 5. Make sure you check him out there, host and reporter. Miles, as important as this game is, and we'll obviously get into it, a week, the last thing the Falcons needed at Flowery Branch was a week of drama with Raheem Morris not quite meeting the moment in a lot of the fans' eyes with his availabilities this week, with Michael Penix Jr. and his answer getting misinterpreted by national media. And then, of course, you had the revelation that Darnell Mooney broke his collarbone at the beginning of practice before the season started. So, Miles, as much as they have to focus on beating Carolina at home, they also had their hands full at the podium this week.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Chris, that's the nature of, you know, when the team is, or a team really for that matter, is underperforming and, you know, is kind of not meeting expectations, that tends to happen. You know, I mean, obviously you have fans who are not very happy and, you know, analysts who are kind of puzzled as to why a team is performing the way they are. And when that's the case right now, obviously you have situations where maybe things are expanded upon what they really are. Obviously talking about the quote from Michael Penix Jr. this week that really kind of blew up and really was taken out of context there. So unfortunately that was the case. Obviously the news with Darnell Mooney was a bit surprising. I mean, obviously with how long he's been out, it's not too surprising in that regard, but just the fact that we're knowing it now, it is kind of interesting just given the fact that he did that and it was kind of moments where he was day to day, week to week, that kind of thing. And, you know, granted he did play week one, which was obviously a good thing for him. But obviously I think there was certainly the case that he hasn't been 100% this season, just given his stat line and, you know, just the fact that he hasn't really been involved in this offense. So yeah, not a great week for the Falcons, but hopefully that changes tomorrow. You hate to call these games must wins, but for this one tomorrow against Carolina at home, roof open, given the record right now, it's tough to say that it isn't.
And to make that happen, they're going to need Michael Penix Jr. to get back on track. What did you make of what he had to say this week? Obviously, taking the miscontextualized quote aside, just seems like he's down right now, Miles. There's really no other way to put it. He's a confident guy. He's not a very boisterous guy to begin with, but he just seemed pretty sullen and like he's understanding just how much pressure is on he and the offense to get back on track right now.
Yeah, and we were in Germany for that game, and you really got the sense post-game, not only from him but from others, but it was very noticeable, obviously, with Michael that, you know, the loss was affecting him. I mean, just his responses to questions after that game, the way he was answering them, it sounded and looked like he was extremely frustrated, and it's hard to blame him, right? I mean, it's been a tough year for the Falcons thus far. You know, whether or not they can turn it around remains to be seen, but from a passing perspective, you know, from just offensively, obviously, that's been the biggest issue right now for this team. The defense has performed fairly well with their stat line with Jeff Wilbrick, but the offense just has not been what we came to expect this season. And, you know, not getting a lot of pass catchers involved outside of Drake London certainly has been frustrating, but this week offers a chance of revenge, you know, and it's going to really tell a lot about this team, I think, Chris, just given the fact that you saw what happened in Charlotte earlier this season. You've seen what's happened the last 4 weeks. You know, this is going to tell a lot about how the remainder of this stretch of the season is going to go. You have three very, very winnable games coming up. I feel like we've said this a couple times this season, but in reality, you know, it's do or die a lot for this staff and for the players really who are here right now, because you got to beat Carolina right now. You're 0-2 in the NFC South right now. You haven't won a single game yet. So in that regard, you got to do that, and you got to beat the Saints, and you got to beat the Jets too. I mean, these are all games that on paper, given the talent you have and who you have on the roster, you should be winning these games. So if they can do that, I don't know. It's been a very unpredictable team this season. I think most national analysts would agree with me on that. But yeah, it's a big week for these guys.
How crazy is it for you to watch in real time, especially you mentioned you were in Berlin for the Germany games, you've been at the home games. How crazy is it to watch what's going on third down and with the time of possession discrepancy?
Yeah, it's baffling. I mean, it's something that I don't think, you know, anyone really I've asked whether that's here locally in Atlanta or throughout the country, we've been able to figure out whether it's a play calling issue with Zach Robinson or you know, Michael Penix Jr. missing some reads, the run game offensively with the run blocking maybe not being where it needs to be. I think all those things combined have kind of created this perfect storm of this third down issue, because, I mean, not converting a single one in Berlin, and I believe three conversions the last few weeks, is definitely not sustainable and something that obviously has contributed to this four-game losing streak. So what the solution is to that, I don't know. I mean, we ask these guys that in practice every single week, and the answer from the coaches and the players for the most part has kind of really been the same. You know, we got to fix it. We got to execute better. We got to practice better, that kind of thing. And that's obviously a good answer. You know, you want to know that they are aware of the issue and want to fix it. But at the end of the day, you got to fix it. You know, we talked to Caden Ellis, obviously the different side of the ball at the end of the game. And he really kind of reiterated the frustration that's happened this season by basically saying, we're close, but we can't afford to be close anymore. And that's really the case. That's what's happened with this team now. You know, you've seen the moments with how close they are against two of the best teams in the AFC in back-to-back weeks with the Patriots and the Colts. But at this point, Chris, you know, you can't afford to be that close anymore. It's do or die right now for these guys.
You mentioned the defense, specifically the defensive line, as good as they have been at getting the quarterback on the ground, 13 sacks over the last two games, Miles, they can't stop the run. And that's been a huge weakness for this team, and it doesn't get any easier tomorrow because, Miles, for those who haven't been paying attention, Rico Dowdle has become one of the best backs in the league, and he has supplanted Chuba Hubbard as their number one running back in Carolina.
Yeah, he has, and I think the issue there really has, at least to me from what I've watched, has fallen on the absence, rather, of Divine Diablo. I mean, I think that injury has been probably the biggest injury of the season so far. I mean, you can talk about Caleb McGarry, but I think Divine Diablo, his absence right there in the middle of the field has caused a huge issue, because you saw just how productive he could be right there, you know, getting tackles, following receivers out there. JD Bertrand has certainly struggled since then. And, you know, obviously going outside of that, Troy Anderson, another guy who matches sort of the skill set of Divine Diablo. Obviously, you know, he hasn't been on the field as much, so we haven't really seen him the past few seasons, but that is what the kind of player that they're looking for to fill that position to make this defense what they want it to be. And unfortunately, we haven't seen that production since the absence of Divine Diablo. And I think the absence of JD Bertrand has kind of really exposed that on the outside. But yeah, to answer your question, as far as the Panthers are concerned, yeah, I mean, this is the team that ran all over these guys the last time they played in Charlotte. So they're going to have to make those adjustments. The pass rush has been great. You know, obviously you want to take the pros there with what the rookies have been able to do and James Pierce and Jalen Walker, but it's a double facet there. You got to stop the run as well, because the Panthers, like you said, they're very good in that area.
Talking all things Atlanta sports, we'll get to some Dogs and some Braves here with Miles Garrett in just a sec. Make sure you check out his work at Fox 5. Miles, I've heard almost consensus this week, UGA, UGA, UGA. Are you on board with that? I feel like, you know, I don't want to say Texas is being overlooked because they're Texas, but they're kind of being overlooked.
Oh, Georgia or Texas?
Georgia or Texas is being overlooked. People are going Georgia, Georgia, Georgia for this one.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly an argument to that. I mean, I think both teams are kind of hitting their stride, really, at the exact same time. Georgia obviously gets the win against Mississippi State in a fashion that I think a lot of people were finally waiting for them to have. And I think it's been kind of this, you know, second half team, this mantra, which Georgia has been throughout most of the season, but it was more of a complete performance that they finally gave way. Texas obviously beats a pretty good Vanderbilt team. They've had some time to rest, so that's in their favor right now. Texas obviously had Mississippi State a lot closer. You know, they took them to overtime, but at the end of the day, Arch Manning is playing a lot better. And this Georgia defense, the pass rush is finally starting to get to where they want it to be, I think, with C.J. Allen and some of these other cats on that side of the ball. So they definitely want to expose that. Kirby Smart has had Texas's number the last season with Steve Sarkisian, you know, going 2-0 last year. So they definitely want to keep that momentum going. But I think the biggest key for Georgia defensively to stop this Sark offense will basically be the linebacking core. I really like what I've seen out of these guys this year. Like I said, C.J. Allen, Raylan Wilson, you know, I really want to see those guys kind of keep up the momentum that they've had the past couple of weeks, because they've struggled a little bit against the rushing quarterbacks of sorts. D.J. Lagway had a good game against these guys. So Arch, you know, you don't want to call him a stereotypical runner, but He certainly can move when needed. So I definitely think it's going to be a big game for those linebackers.
Before I let you go, Braves put together their coaching staff, now look towards filling out the roster. What do you think is the most important single move they need to make?
It's a loaded question, because I do think there's a few moves they need to make right now. But at the moment, I do think they very, very much need to figure out what they're doing at the shortstop position. You know, Ha-Seong Kim elects to become a free agent. So, you know, he did some good things at the end of that season, but they haven't had any stability there whatsoever since Dansby Swanson left. The pitching thing, you would say, is the next big thing there. But the problem with that, Chris, is that you just don't know what you're going to get, especially out of this current roster, because you have guys who on paper can perform very well and have performed very well. You just don't know what their injury history is. The Atlanta Braves seemingly are cursed at that position the last few years with injuries. So I'd like to see them kind of go out and make a move to get a starting caliber pitcher, perhaps two, to kind of add along with this staff that has shown promise, but it's just been injuries that have killed them.
By the way, did you like the Walt Weiss hire?
It's kind of a wait and see thing. Walt, I think, has certainly earned his time. And I think calling him, you know, Brian Sitker 2.0 isn't exactly, you know, what he's going to do. I mean, he's brought on an entirely new staff. I do like the fact that he kept guys like Eddie Perez on his staff and, you know, kind of kept some of the mainstays there. But, you know, he has added some other guys himself. You know, I do like that he's bringing in this new batch of coaches, which I think was really the main gripe with a lot of Braves fans, to say, you know, let's try something different here. Let's not have the same old guard keep doing the same thing over and over again, which, again, hasn't necessarily been bad. I mean, this team has won a World Series, has won the NL East basically every single year outside of the last couple of seasons. So it's not like the Braves process has been bad. It's just they're trying to get back over that hump and get back to a World Series. So I'm interested to see how Tim Hyers continues to do next year, because I think he was a little hit or miss this year. But the players seem to like him, and obviously Walt Weiss likes him too. So keeping those two guys as holdovers will be interesting to watch next year.
Miles, great stuff. Appreciate you as always. We'll check you out at Fox 5, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, Chris. See ya.
All right, that is Miles Garrett there. When we get back, it's back to you on the phones. Let's go. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. You just heard Miles' take. He was at Flowery Branch all week. He was in Germany for the game, and he said, yeah, Michael Penix Jr., that frown needs to be turned upside down. So what say you? What is the most important thing that needs to happen tomorrow? Just win the game, get back on track, or is it to see our QB1 get back on track himself? Your calls are next, 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas tonight.